It's a bright and cheery day here in Australia, and welcome to the Lethal Mullet Network, where you're going to have a fantastic day. Oh, bloody hell. Looks like... Oh. Patrol car. Oh, no.
All right, you. Pull over.
Oh, no. No.
I said pull over. Pull over to the curb.
All right, hang on. All right, let's pull this car over.
Pull over to the curb now. Do
what you're told! Alright, alright, yeah. Oh, here he comes.
Alright, license and registration, come on now.
Righto, mate, here you go.
Your name is Mullet? What kind of person calls himself Mullet?
I don't know, the lethal kind, probably.
You're the lethal Mullet?
Alright, lights, camera, action. Now where's the Mullet, where is he? Is he coming in by chopper? Again.
And now, live from Quinlan's Cantina in the Gold Coast of Australia, it's time again for your dose of action cinema history from the 80s, 90s, and beyond with the Lethal Mullet Podcast.
Oh, g'day, mate, how you going? G'day, mate, how you going? This is the Mullet Adam O'Brien coming live from Quinlan's Cantina in the Gold Coast of Australia for the one, the only Lethal Mullet Podcast. Of course, the flagship show on the Lethal Mullet Network. How you going? Happy New Year and all that. It's probably been a couple episodes since the New Year, but we are recording this literally 2 days after New Year's Day. And out here in Australia, it's stinking bloody hot and damp and miserable too at the same time because it's monsoonal rain season and the humidity sucks. Why? Because you just sit down and you drip sweat. That's right. It's like, you know, the tropics, what can you do? It's always going to be warm at least. And, you know, we're heading into February very, very soon, which is, of course, the most humid part of the Australian summer. But I tell you what, folks, we are going to get through it, and we're going to get through it well. Well, I can tell you what we're going to be doing tonight, and it's going to be something interesting. It is going to be, of course, a little bit of a change for us here. We're going to start to talk about some still action movies, but we're going to break into some 90s stuff here. We've done a lot of 80s, we've done some 2000s, but we haven't done a lot of 90s stuff. You know, we've dabbled here and there. We're moving into the world of Chad McQueen, Jeff Wincott, and most importantly, the one herself, the amazing Cynthia Rothrock. Yes, we're going to be covering a lot of Cynthia here over the next year because she's done so much from her days in, obviously, moving from the martial arts world into Hong Kong action cinema and working with, of course, the amazing Richard Norton and, of course, the teams in Hong Kong with, of course, Yuen Biu and Sammo Hung and, of course, just amazing work that she did over there for the time she was over there. And then, of course, moved back to the United States and did an amazing array of films. The ones we're going to be talking about tonight are Martial Law 1 and 2. And also we're going to be covering films like China O'Brien and much, much more in the coming months here. Of course, 2022, folks, so we're going to get into that. A couple others we're going to be looking at over the next couple of weeks. We've already talked about, of course, you're going to be seeing a look at Al Leong, the amazing Al Leong, who's actually got his own documentary. It's been out for a few years now called Henchman. We're going to be chatting about his life and just do a special on all the great work that he's done in action, film, cinema, and more. And not just the action cinema itself. He's worked in, of course, behind the scenes as a stuntman over the years. And, of course, martial artist. We're going to be talking about, of course, Armor of God in a couple of weeks. Avengement, of course, with our good pal Scott. The amazing Scott. You know who we're talking about, folks. Also, we're looking at My Science Project, a 1980s classic. Another 80s classic is Leviathan, of course, one of the many underwater classics that came out in around 1989, along with, of course, Deep Six, Deep Star Six, I should say. Keep getting that one mixed up, I tell you what. And it's a great flick, too. But Leviathan is definitely one I grew up with out here in Australia. Also, of course, The Abyss at the same time. They all came out around about the same sort of time. And still, James Cameron has not given us yet a Blu-ray. That's right, no Blu-ray of The Abyss yet. Although he has given an update recently in some interviews, so we'll have some news hopefully from him soon. Steel Dawn, of course, the Patrick Swayze classic. We're going to be looking at that. The Last Dragon, that's right, with Timac. We're going to be doing that. Now, Last Dragon we're going to be doing with, definitely with Kyle Wagner, because he's a huge fan of that film. And we hope to get Lee Fillingsness of Blood of Kings, a Highlander podcast, on that one as well. Some classics as well. We're going to be looking at Long Kiss Goodnight. Yes, Samuel L. Jackson and, of course, most importantly, Geena Davis, classic action film. It's got some great members in that cast as well. We've got one that a lot of people forget is in that is Brian Cox doing a bit of a comedic turn in that one. Quite good as well. Brain Smasher, a love story we'll look at as well soon. Bounty Tracker. We're also going to be looking at too some other work that, of course, Lorenzo Lamas has done. And, of course, one of those being the one, the only, Renegade, the TV show. Folks, I'm rewatching that right now. It's got some great co-stars in it that we have to talk about, and plus guest stars as well, which you know very, very well. That's all here on the Lethal Mullet Podcast in the next month. G'day, man. How you going? Welcome to the Lethal Mullet Network, where you'll find all these amazing shows and more. Where you'll find the Lethal Mullet Podcast, a celebration of action cinema from the 80s, 90s, and beyond. You'll also find Making Treks, a Star Trek fan podcast, where I'm joined by my amazing co-host, Mark Newbold, into a deep dive of Star Trek. You'll also find Mullet and Kilt, a look at music, where I'm joined by my dear pal, Darth Elvis. And where you can also find The Mullet Guild, a look at the Dune universe. All here on, of course, lethalmulletnetwork.podbean.com or on your favorite podcatcher. You can find us there. You can also find all these shows a week later on, of course, the one, the only Fandom Podcast Network, FPN, on fpnet.podbean.com. Don't forget to also follow us on socials. There's, of course, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at the handle at the Lethal Mullet. We'll catch you out there and enjoy your action cinema.
Hey, how's your man?
Welcome to the dojo. Leave your shoes outside the door.
Yes, folks, welcome to the dojo. Leave your shoes at the door and come in only with your gi on, ready to train and ready to soak up the knowledge that is the martial arts movies, martial arts actors, martial artists, and all else we talk about here in the dojo, which is everything to do with martial arts cinema, of course. Well, folks, we're going to go straight into it tonight. We're going to be chatting about Martial Law 1 and 2 in our main Lethal Pub segment soon, but we're going to chat about some of the martial artists that are involved in the story, and of course, two in particular, which I've been, well, actually three, I've got to say the leads in this are just exactly that, are amazing, and, you know, they are definitely, without a doubt, legends. And we're talking about true legends in the field. I mean, there's no getting around it. This is huge. All right, in terms of our first one, we're going to chat about, of course, Stephen McQueen's son, as in Steve McQueen. His son is, of course, Chadwick Stephen McQueen, otherwise known as an actor as Chad McQueen. And you might know him from Karate Kid and Karate Kid Part 2. He's the only son of Steve McQueen, and he's more a race car driver these days, film producer, former actor. I don't know that he does that much acting anymore. He's more geared towards sports and stuff like that. Played Dutch in The Karate Kid and the sequel as well. But in this series of films, he hit it out as co-star of this one, co-lead of Martial Law. He's quite good. I've always liked Chad. He's got quite a presence, you know, particularly as Dutch. It's a shame that he didn't come back for Cobra Kai. I don't know whether they were going to plan something huge for Dutch, but he's talked about definitely in the second season of the show when the rest of the original Cobra Kai come back together. He was born in 1960 in Los Angeles to Steve and, of course, Nell Adams. And he always had a passion for anything going fast, so racing, motorcycles, cars, dirt bikes. I think that's a big thing to think about when it comes to Cobra Kai and, of course, Karate Kid, is that dirt bikes were a part of that, weren't they? So there you go. Obviously, his father, very much into the same stuff. Martial arts, obviously, big thing with his father being trained by Bruce Lee back in the day. But also being somebody that's involved in, some great, huge films when it comes to cars. Obviously, Bullet and, of course, Le Mans in 1971. One of my stepfather's greatest, loves is that film. Chuck that on a Blu-ray and just watch that on the big TV, and it's just amazing. So he basically worked in the Karate Kid films, and then 93 played in a role in the film New York Cop with Mira Sorvino, and in the action film Red Line and Death Ring as well. From there, he'd also been on TV pretty much to do anything with cars and stuff like that, and of course, high performance vehicles. He was in a producing role for a documentary called Filming at Speed, and of course, anything to do with motorsport, things like Hot Rod TV and Celebrity Rides as well. Now, the producers of Cobra Kai did try and get him on the show, as mentioned earlier, but the only reason he wasn't able to really do it was because he had prior commitments to McQueen Racing. Of course, he's got a professional racing career as well. He started the Sports Car Club of America, the SCCA, and he's been in a number of different, obviously, forms of racing, from motocross to the Baja 1000. And he's also teamed with Jackie X and his daughter Vanina as well. And they go through piloting a Porsche 959S, which is amazing. So it's great to see that they're all involved in that sport, because, again, high-performance sport's huge. And interesting that, obviously, there's so many forms of racing in the States. It's a little bit different from what we do out here in Australia. We've got slightly different, forms of particularly motorsport. We've got out here still high-performance cars and stuff like that in different ratings. We've got things like, of course, the Formula Ford. We've got also the Grand Prix stuff that happens out here. We also have the Bathurst 1000, originally called, but this thing's been going for years. It's our big touring car championships out here in Australia. It's very popular. We've all followed it for years out here, those that are interested in sports racing and stuff like that. It's the biggest one. Touring cars is pretty much our thing. Always has been. Pretty much these days it is V8 supercars that is the main thrust of that too. And it's, from all your big companies, like everything from Nissan, Ford, Holden, all those sorts of huge companies now, pretty much making a pretty standard V8 supercar that's used in those areas. But we're getting away from chatting about Chad's stuff here too. So obviously he's been huge in to that sport, and something's interesting for us out here in Australia. We don't get things like a lot of the motocross and Baja 1000 stuff like that. It's not sort of coverage we have out here in Australia to watch on TV, and so it'd be interesting for Aussies to go and check that out too. He's married to Stacia Toden, and they have a son, Stephen R. McQueen, and he is a regular in the TV series Vampire Diaries, and he's also in Chicago Fire, so there you go. Let's have a quick look at Chad's stuff. So obviously, in his career, started in 1978 in skateboard, where he played a competition skateboarder, Hadley's Rebellion, where he played Rick Stanton, Karate Kid, obviously. Fever Pitch, The Fascination, The Karate Kid, Part 2 in 1986. Took a short breather and came back in 1991 with Martial Law. And then after that, he did New York Cop, Firepower, Jimmy Hollywood, Indecent Behavior 2, Bullet 2. There you go. Red Line, Squanderers, Paper Trail, Surface to Air, and then The Fall. After that, in 2001, he hasn't done any acting in action movie roles and stuff like that since. Obviously, moving into motorsports now. So, again, you're going to see him here in Martial Law and as a lead. I think he does quite well. And next up, we're going to be chatting about Cynthia Ann Christine Rothrock, American martial artist, obviously one of the greatest martial artists out there. This lady has done an amazing job, not only in the world of martial arts and, you know, from going from being that kind of amazing athlete and, you know, real, when it comes down to it, one of the true and honest martial artists, when it comes to just the technique being so perfect. She was a forms champion and weapons champion when it came to that, and she does such an amazing job still to this day. Obviously, now in the world of action, film, cinema, and much, much more. She was born in 1957 in Delaware and grew up in Pennsylvania, taking martial arts lessons at the early age of 13. And now, this is just to give you an idea of what she has done in the past. She has done Tangsudo, Taekwondo, Karate, Eagle Claw, Wushu, Northern Shaolin, and Pai Lung Tao Kung Fu as well. Now, she holds an 8th degree black belt in Tangsudo, a black belt in Taekwondo, a black belt in Karate, a black belt in Eagle Claw, another one also in Wushu, a black belt in Northern Shaolin, and also in Pai Lung Tao Kung Fu, a black belt as well. So we're talking about somebody that is, you know, one of the real masters. You know, if you've done all of those systems through, I mean, that's just amazing. Now, she also goes by another name in, of course, Hong Kong, Fu Lok Lau. And that is, of course, because she spent a number of years in Hong Kong doing Hong Kong action films. And she really is somebody particularly, you know, that went to Hong Kong that really made a massive name for herself there, to the point where when she came to the States, you know, she really had a career behind her there that showed the American filmmakers just how awesome she is with action films, action film choreography, and, of course, martial arts being seen on film. Because there's one thing to do martial arts, but to do it on film and make it look good is a completely different thing than doing the martial arts itself. She's also a martial arts instructor, and of course her favorite weapons are the hook swords. Now, of course, probably the biggest film or the most popular film that uses the hook swords would be The Golden Child, which they use in that one as well. Obviously, very interesting weapons in the Chinese martial arts systems to see used, and particularly in forms as well. So I would say very hard to master as well. She has constantly worked all the way from those days up until now and done amazing amount of films. And still to this day is still doing films, you know, right up to now. All great action films. Good friends with, of course, Don the Dragon Wilson, one of my absolute favorites when it comes to action films. And they've worked together a number of times as well. And I think one of the great things is, not just for those two, but the camaraderie that we're starting to, you know, to see from the 80s forward of these action stars. It wasn't all about competition. You know, there's a real professional courtesy, if you like. Everybody got to know each other and work on several films together. And I think that's what makes it so interesting. So to look at some of the films, obviously these are all action films. They include China O'Brien 1 and 2, Guardian Angel, No Retreat, No Surrender 2, Prince of the Sun, Honor and Glory, and more and beyond. She's always active when it comes to the films. There's always, you know, amazing choreography, but the kicking and, of course, the striking and stuff that she does looks so good on screen, you know, that you have to see it in, and really enjoy for what it is. She does an amazing job with it. She was also in Hercules, The Legendary Journeys. She's also been involved in the 2004 film Extreme Fighter, also known as Psy Fighter as well. Got to say, I'm a huge fan of Cynthia, and we will be covering as much as we can of some of these great films moving forward. Obviously, tonight with Martial Law and Martial Law 2, and we'll look at China O'Brien in the near future as well.
Hi, this is Tom Caldwell from Good Evening, an Alfred Hitchcock podcast on the Fandom Podcast Network, inviting you to check out our show. Once a month, we release an episode about the films of the great master of suspense, Alfred Hitchcock. You can find us on Facebook at Hitchcock Good Evening, on Twitter at Good Evening Pod, and along with myself and Brandon Shea Mutala and Chris Haig, we bring you a fun and friendly show that you can enjoy alongside your viewing of the films of Alfred Hitchcock. On behalf of the program, I wish you good evening.
Hey, mate, how you going? Come on in, mate. Yeah, yeah. What shall it be? Oh, yeah, man, it's been real busy, D, you know? Just like I was telling my mate the other day, you know, have a nice, you know, cold beverage and enjoy the show about, you know, films and all that sort of stuff. You know? Well, here you go, mate. Here, enjoy this beverage and enjoy this film chat. All right, let's do this. Martial Law and Martial Law 2. Well, I've seen these a number of times, but I haven't seen them in a long time. Put it that way. I hadn't seen it since probably about 96 or 97 is the last time I saw both of these. And of course, these are films which really are police procedural dramas with martial arts added to it. It's kind of taken real influences from the Hong Kong action cinema and of course, traditional good old Hollywood action films as well, because there's a bit of everything in these. There's everything from the smart and witty one-liners that the action cinema guys have always done, you know. And it's not just Arnold and Sylvester Stallone and Bruce Willis that have done this for years. All of them have done it. And I think it's all been influenced by one another. Old Westerns used to do it. 70s, you know, cop dramas used to do it. They even do it in Hong Kong action cinema and, of course, abroad as well. Australia, Japan, you know. Even the UK and anywhere else in the world. So comedy in particular is universal. I think, you know, you get that in a lot of these procedural stuff, you know, when it comes to police dramas and in particular action cinema. And it certainly was a big staple of, well, the 90s, folks, you know, wasn't it? We had films like Lethal Weapon. In particular, that had that formula of the buddy cop. And it was certainly huge. Like, that was a big part of the industry at the time, was getting, you know, two unlikely, you know, people, completely different characters, you know, at opposite ends of the spectrum in terms of age as well. And it really did the whole, I'm too old for this syndrome when it comes to, of course, a policeman who was on his way out of and to retire very, very soon. Of course, in comes this up-and-coming, you know, plainclothes detective that is pretty much ready to try anything. And, of course, they take this into the B-grade action cinema world, of course, of martial arts cinema, and it's put a twist on it with, of course, the high-flying kicks and stuff like that we see in these films. In 1991, Martial Law came out, directed by the one and only Steve Cohen, produced by Kurt Anderson, and written by Richard Brandes, which is a name I'll come back to in a sec. Now, starred Chad McQueen, as we mentioned earlier, Cynthia Rothrock, of course, and a villain that you know as pretty much a hero in a lot of stuff, and a villain as well, David Carradine. So, very interesting to have Kane from Kung Fu as a villain in this, but, of course, he's played a number of martial arts villains over the years, and one of them a little bit earlier than this in Lone Wolf McQuade. But stay on path with us, folks, with David Carradine. We've got a couple of David Carradine movies coming up. Circle of Iron is one that we're going to be looking at. And also another one called Bird on a Wire. Yes, you might remember Bird on a Wire, folks. That's right. The Goldie Hawn and Mel Gibson action comedy which, of course, David Carradine was a bad guy in as well. So here's what the movie's about. The two cops, Sean Thompson, played by Chad McQueen, and Billy Blake, played by Cynthia Rothrock, are basically two karate cops, okay? Experts in karate and police officers as well. They deal with everything from routine, you know, police work, to stopping small-time robberies and dealing with all forms of police procedures that they have to do over the time. But they come up against Dalton Rhodes, played by David Carradine, who's a smuggler of everything from luxury cars to weapons and all other stuff. But he's also, like them, a master of karate. Oh, well, probably kung fu for David Carradine, I guess. From here, they start to see a number of bodies, of course, homicides, and they're finding everything from one body here and there, and then again, another body over here, and it piles up. And of course, they believe mafia are behind it, and of course, but they find that all the killing is done by bare hands. That's in unarmed. So Sean and Billy have no idea what's going on, and of course, they have to find a way in. One of those being Sean's got a younger brother by the name of Michael, who finds himself working alongside Dalton, and of course, working for the mob boss, he gets in trouble. From here, Sean Thompson and Billy Blake must come to the rescue. So it's a pretty simple story, you know, and I think the big thing is the story itself gives enough room for it to be an action masterpiece, which it is. It's a fantastic piece of action cinema. Everything from what we see Cynthia doing to, of course, Chad McQueen, of course, David Carradine. Brilliant. And, of course, we've got a great cast as well. Outside of Chad and Cynthia, we have and David, we have Andy McCutcheon as Michael Thompson. And as Michael, he's really good in this. Again, he's sucked into working for Rhodes, and he finds no way out once he's working for them. Philip Tan is Wu Han. Philip Tan, of course, really good in this, actually. And you'll know him from a number of action films over the years. Tony Longo as Booker. John Fujioka as Chang. John Fujioka, big name in action cinema. That's right. Well, you probably know his characters more than, you know, and particularly the films that he's been in. American Ninja, he played the master to, of course, Michael Dudikoff. And, of course, he's also the master in Steel Dawn and friend to, of course, Patrick Swayze's character and a number of other films over the years, too. We also have Lars Lundgren as Rupin, Patricia Wilson as Grace, Rick Walters as Colonel Kramer, Jim Melinda as Captain Sykes, Vincent Craig Dupree as Faster Brown, and we also have the amazing and late and great Professor Toru Tanaka as Jimmy Kong. Of course, Toru Tanaka, amazing. He was in some massive films over the years. And, of course, one of the big ones being Sub-Zero in, of course, The Running Man. He was also in The Last Action Hero. And, of course, in The Perfect Weapon as well. He did quite an amazing job in that too. Really, really good. So the big thing about this film is that it started a series of films. And, of course, we got another one called Martial Law 2 Undercover. And, of course, even on the poster, it gives you the clear idea. The mandate is clear. Zero tolerance. Chad McQueen didn't return for this film. Instead, we got a Canadian actor, one that is a Taekwondo black belt and, of course, has a brother who played Top Dollar and, of course, The Crow. We're talking about Michael Wincott. Then in here, in this film, his brother, Jeff, is the one that steps in to lead with, of course, Cynthia Rothrock again here. Martial Law 2 is just as good as the original. I find that it is a little bit different in terms of that they're going for a slightly different style, particularly when it comes to Jeff, who's got a real name for, of course, fast speed and stuff like that. Very similar to the other Jeff, Jeff Speakman, of course. Kempo Karate, American Kempo. Of course, Jeff had a background in Night Heat, the TV show, and obviously moved into Martial Law 2, then classics like Mission of Justice, Martial Outlaw, We also had films like Open Fire, and the list goes on. He was a huge, huge star out here in Australia. Everyone was picking up his VHSs over the years and enjoying his fast and frenetic style of combat. In this, he works really well alongside, of course, Cynthia. Cynthia is still doing just as amazing as the original film, and she has some great action scenes. Again, her kicking in this is taken up to another level, and again, the speed of the kicks is what really amazed me. You know, both of them, I've got to say. But I think because both of them have a background in Taekwondo, we're getting some real, not just accurate kicking, but height in the kicks, which, of course, that great system does. Okay, Martial Law 2 Undercover, as it's known out here in Australia, is also known elsewhere as Karate Cop and, of course, Martial Law 2. Now, this is a sequel to the original film. It's produced by Steve Cohen, the original director, but this time the producer from the previous one, Kurt Anderson, comes in and directs, starring Jeff Wincott, Cynthia Rothrock, Paul Johansson, L. Charles Taylor, Cherie Rose, and Billy Drago. That's right. What's great about this one is we really get, I think, a great slice of what we're going to get in the future films of Jeff Wincott in this. And it really is great. So in this one, he takes over the role of course, of Sean Thompson. And he's a detective now. And Billy Blake comes back into it as well. And of course, this time, they're going through a deadly series of murders and corruption that is happening. They go from searching nightclubs where basically the uber elite and the rich and all the powerful go to be entertained by beautiful women. And of course, they have martial arts experts that are there as hired thugs, basically, and looking after the crime lord there. Thompson gets taken away from working on the investigation by his commanding officer, and this time Billy goes behind the enemy lines. She becomes a bartender and works inside the club to try and find out what is happening in this, and of course heads to a climax, a huge one. So this film was, I think, the first one I saw, and quite enjoyed it because I'd seen Mission of Justice before this. Pretty sure I'd seen that first and then watched these two in not the right order, obviously. So we have Jeff taking over the role of Sean Thompson. Cynthia Rothrock is Billy Blake. Paul Johansson playing Spencer Hamilton in this. We have Evan Lurie as Tanner. And we have Charles Taylor as Dobbs. Cherie Rose plays Bree. Billy Drago as the CO Captain Krantz. And he just does Billy, of course. He always does. Let's see who else we have here of note that we can remember. We've got Deborah Drigg as Tiffany, Conroy Gedeon as Jones, and we've got Kimber Seeson as Celeste. So this is a film which really follows the same formula as the original, and I think the big thing in this one is Chad's martial arts were on a different style to what Jeff's done. So I think you'll find that Chad McQueen's style was more rooted in karate and no doubt probably has some influence from his father's Jeet Kune Do training with Bruce Lee. But Jeff Wincott's a different animal altogether when it comes to his martial arts styles. He's somebody that's done, no doubt, years of kicking because that's one of his biggest things is his kicks. But I think, you know, when it comes down to the training and stuff like that, and probably some of the stuff he's learnt on film, maybe, you know, come down to things like learning how to use eskrima sticks and stuff like that. You can see that in this film. We get to see some great scenes of eskrima action in a dojo. We see a lot of fast handwork, some great also throws and grappling as well. It's a bit of an all-rounder, this film, when it comes to its style. And Cynthia does that as well too. But we also get a little bit of action when it comes to the firepower and stuff like that as well. And it really is an interesting mix. Now, what's interesting is Mission of Justice in some ways feels like a sequel to this. Mission of Justice follows a similar idea. In this case, we've covered the film before, so you know where we're heading. And of course, he's got a sort of follow the idea of going behind enemy lines, becoming a part of the Academy of Martial Arts, whatever it is that he does in that one with Bridget Nielsen at the head of it. It's, again, a sort of a further take on particularly that idea of infiltrating undercover, but also the whole martial arts cinema part itself in it is pushed up a notch with that huge kumite in the middle of it, which is filled with about 40 fighters with batons. And, of course, three people that are getting initiated in that have to go through that ring of combatants and come out the other end. Of course, it's one of the biggest action set pieces when it comes to Jeff Wincott's career as well. It was fantastic. So these two amazing films, Martial Law 1 and Martial Law 2, how do they fit on the Hallenbach scale? Well, to me, they are solid. The first one is a solid 4 out of 5. You know, I think there is a little bit of room here and there for that to have been even more frenetic and faster and more powerful, yes. But I still think it's a great film. The second one, almost there, it's about a 3.5 out of 5 on the Hallenbach scale. I think the idea is sort of following the same direction, but the fight scenes alone push it up to a 4. So, you know, I think the story following a similar path in the first doesn't quite get there as well. Now, as we mentioned earlier, we were talking about a guy by the name of Richard Brandes. And Richard Brandes is actually on the cover of the Martial Law DVD. And I do believe probably the VHS as well. And it's an oversight by the production company that put out the DVD, because his name is above Chad McQueen's head. He's actually the writer of Martial Law, the original film. So there you go. So go and check out, of course, the great work of Chad McQueen, Cynthia Rothrock, David Carradine, Jeff Wincott, and of course, Cynthia Rothrock again, and of course, Billy Drago. This is an amazing film series, and of course, the start of so many great careers.
G'day, folks. Hope you're enjoying the great shows here on the Phantom Podcast Network. Be sure to check out all the great shows that we have on offer and subscribe on the master feed at fpnet.podbean.com. You can check Blood of Kings, a Highlander podcast hosted by Kevin the Raider Nerd Rysel and Lee Fillingsus on that platform. You can also check out Culture Clash, which is the weekly look at pop culture hosted by Kevin and Kyle. Couch Potato Theatre, this is a cult classics and guilty pleasure podcast. Also Time Warp, a fandom flashback show. End Zone, a look at the NFL, the American football. Also, Good Evening, an Alfred Hitchcock podcast, looking at the great films of Alfred Hitchcock. Union Federation podcast, a Star Trek and Orville podcast, looking at Discovery and, of course, Picard, plus the Orville. Also, the Hair Metal podcast, looking at the great shows put on by the amazing bands back in the late 80s, their discs, their LPs, everything, all covering the fashion as well. Hosted by Kevin the Raider Nerd Reitzel. You can also check out Type 40, a Doctor Who podcast, hosted by Kevin and Dan Hadley, looking at all the eras of Doctor Who. You can also catch out What a Piece of Junk, a Star Wars podcast, an amazing show looking at Star Wars, hosted by Derek and Scott. And of course, our newest one, the amazing, The Mullet Guild, an offshoot of the Lethal Mullet podcast, looking at Frank Herbert's Dune universe. This is like an encyclopedia for Dune, where I take you through and down into the rabbit hole of Frank Herbert's amazing space opera, the sprawling universe which is going to be brought to life by Denis Villeneuve and December 18. You can check out all the shows there. Be sure to also go onto the social platforms on Twitter at FanPod Network. Let us know what you think of the shows and what else you can look at there. You can also check out great articles that we put up through there that we share. Also check out on Instagram and Facebook, Phantom Podcast Network. Be sure to make sure that every Tuesday you check out the great work done by Making Treks as well. A brand new podcast looking at a deep dive of Star Trek, hosted by myself, James Semple, and of course, the ever popular and amazing writer of Star Trek and Star Wars, Mark Newbold. Go and check it out, folks, and we'll catch you next time here on the Phantom Podcast Network's The Lethal Mullet Podcast. Good afternoon, good evening, and good night.